Thank you for everyone who's listening to the audio. We just praise and thank God that there's no distance in the spirit.
Amen.
Amen. There's no distance in the spirit. Praise God. So that anointing that's resting here is going to rest on this audio. Praise God. We just thank and praise him tonight. Bishop is out of town. I don't know where he is out of town, but he went out of town. So that's why he and First Lady are not here on tonight. But he did assure me that they would be back by Sunday, you know, for Sunday service. So, amen. They will be back this weekend. We just pray that they're going to be safe, you know, out here traveling. You know, I was like, what, Bishop? But praise God. We just trust God in all things. Amen. But I'm going to open up in prayer real quick, and we're going to jump right on in. Father God, we thank you. And we praise you, oh God, for who you are. God, we thank you and we praise you, God, that you are God and you could decide to be any kind of way you want to be, God, but you decide to love us, God. You decide, hallelujah, to have mercy on us, God. You decide, hallelujah, to bring us out, God, when we didn't think there was a way out, God. So we just thank you and we honor you on tonight. Father, we just pray that you continue to be with us, Father, as we continue on in this series on the fruit of the Spirit. God, I know that it was from you. God, we're learning and growing so very much, and we just thank you for all of that. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are down to our last 3 weeks of this series this week, and then we're going to cover the very last fruit that's listed there in Galatians. And then the very next week, we're going to wrap up with some things that the Lord laid on my heart. And so we only have three more in this particular series. I don't know where we're going yet. When I shared with Bishop where I wanted to go, where I felt we might want to go, he was like, we're not ready for that. So, so amen, Bishop. All right. Praise God. But we'll have it all together by the time it needs to be together. Amen. Amen, amen. So last week we talked about faithfulness. I don't know about anybody else that was here on last week, but that really blessed me, the faithfulness, you know, God requiring faithfulness from us. But as we have seen throughout all of this series, that even though it's something that God requires of us, he's the one that actually works it on the inside of us.
Yes.
Praise God. So we don't have to try to work it up ourselves.
Right.
Praise God. So that's what we covered on last week. And, of course, you know by now our base scripture there in Galatians chapter 5. And, by the way, if you weren't here last week and you want the student sheet that I print up, I do have a couple of extra ones, and I can give those to whoever might want one of those. So in Galatians chapter 5, we are in verse 23. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Tonight, our word is our fruit that we're studying or looking at is meekness. And so the dictionary definition of meekness is humbly patient or docile as under provocation from others. In other words, somebody's provoking you. You're intentionally taking the posture of being humble and patient. And the Strong's Concordance definition of meekness comes from the Greek word praatos, which means gentleness and humility. Now, we came across this word the other week, if you all remember, when we covered gentleness, and I said that we would be running into it, and here it is. And so, as I was thinking about meekness, it occurred to me that some people may think that meekness is weakness. Right, people in the world, you know, would think that, and so as a result, so many people are resisting appearing meek because they don't want to appear weak,
right?
But meekness is not weakness.
Right.
And we're gonna dive in that tonight. We're gonna drill that hard on tonight because meekness is not weakness. We're gonna start in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. It's amazing how the sound goes when there's not a whole lot of, isn't it something? So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, this is Jesus speaking, guys. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke, Jesus says, upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now the Amplified, I like these different versions. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. Now I want to talk about that word yoke for a minute, that word yoke. The definition of yoke is to be or become joined, linked, or united. He says, take my yoke upon you. So it reminded me of, and I gave you a picture, I stapled a picture to your paper, of these two ox or cows or whatever they are. This wooden thing that's on there, that's harnessed, is a yoke, okay? And some of you may know, because I'm not a country girl at all, okay? So I had to Google it. I had to Google what it was about. So, but a yoke is a device that is used in agriculture and farming where they would join animals together at the neck to work together in the field. It often resembles a wooden beam that is used as a harness for animals to pull a cart or farming equipment. Now, yoked oxen learn together. They learn to work together. And on a team of oxen, I guess it would be like two is really a team, one will end up being the more dominant, right? But they can be trained to work as a unit to get the work done. So when I thought about that, I said, Jesus, what are you saying to us? Take my yoke upon you, right? He's wanting us to yoke up with him, right? He wants us to learn to work together with him. Oh, gosh. And as I was looking at the example, the illustration, because, you know, that's how Jesus taught them a lot, because they would have recognized what this was about at that time, right? This would not have been lost on them. And so they would have known he's wanting us to submit ourselves to him. He's wanting us to be united with the way he is trying to lead us and guide us. And I just thought that was powerful because I had never, ever seen that before, guys. When he said my yoke is, I had never seen, like, what are you talking about? I had no idea. And then when I Googled it, I was like, oh, it became so clear to me. So let's go back to what he told them. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So Jesus was telling us here in this verse, it's a whole lot in that one verse. He's telling us be joined, linked, and united with him, study him, follow his example, because he is meek and he is humble, and if they would do what he is suggesting, they would have rest. All of that in that one verse. So let me ask you, why would Jesus invite us to join and unite with him? Why would he invite us to do that? What is he trying to accomplish, in other words?
Uh-huh. So that we can go where he leads us.
Okay.
Do what we're supposed to do when we're, you know, while we're there. Mm-hmm. Not lean to our own understanding of things.
Gotcha. Yes, yes, yes. Become more like him. Amen. Amen.
I mean, because if you don't yoke up with him, how are you supposed to follow him like Jesus?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Amen. Yoke up with him so we become more like him. Amen. Amen.
And also, well, we take that yoke up because we can be for our citizenship.
Mm.
So we can also grow into being Christ-like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It does take us to a whole different level, because even as I'm standing here, I'm thinking, what in the world would happen if these ox are yoked up like this and one's trying to go the opposite direction, right? He's trying to go this way and he's trying to go that way. That's not going to work very long, is it? Because somebody's going to get tangled up and hurt, right? That thing might start rubbing on their neck a little bit, right? Because they're not walking in unison. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that something? Wow. Okay. So why? He said, take my yoke upon you. So why would Jesus invite his disciples to join and unite with him? Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 11, I believe this is part of the why. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 11, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So Jesus' earthly ministry, it was only 3 years, right? He accomplished so much in those 3 short years. But he was setting the foundation and provided the way of deliverance, right? and there were plenty, you know, of God's creation that is still lost, right? So he said, I came to save that which was lost. He accomplished a lot in those 3 years, but what did he tell the disciples when he ascended to heaven? I must go to the Father, right? But I'm sending you now, right? I'm sending you, and what is he sending us to do? He's sending us to be witnesses. He's sending us to continue the work, as it were. So uniting with Jesus, taking on his yoke, would mean we are moving together with him, of course, by his Spirit. That's, you know, we always got to come back to that. Moving together with him by his Spirit as his witnesses to help accomplish the mission, which is make disciples of all nations. It's going to always go back to that. Always, always. Because Jesus never was never teaching or instructing or encouraging or anything without the mission in mind. And the mission was always to save those that were lost, save that which was lost. Okay, so the why, I believe part of that why of taking up his yoke, joining with him, uniting with him, is so that we, as you all have beautifully laid out, number one, we're going to become more like him. And as we become more like him, then we're going to move like him. We want to go his direction. We're not going to lean to our own understanding. And as we continue to do that, then we're going to come up to a whole nother level in our relationship with him, understanding who we really are and our inheritance in him. Is that powerful or what?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. So, thank you, Beth. So when I think of humility and meekness, I think of submission and surrender. I think of submission and surrender because I can't exhibit humility or meekness if I have not first submitted and surrendered my will. Does that make sense? So the author of this book that I'm getting some of the questions and things out of that I told you about, Juanita Purcell, on the back of your papers, I gave you this, I think it was a pretty nice phrase, an acronym, that reminds us of this life that we're endeavoring to live. She calls it palms up living, palms up living. Place your palms up before God. Allow God to take what he wants. Uh-oh, a lot of us are going to stop right there. We're going to be stuck right there for a minute. Like, wait a minute, God, what you going to take? But allow God to take what he wants. Let God be free to give you what he wants to give you. And mentally picture yourself turning loose of everything. Oh, Lord. Say to God, give what you want and take what you want. Until you learn to trust God totally, you will be uptight and living with clenched fists. And the last P, palms up living, is relaxed living, turning loose, opening up, and trusting God completely. Wow. So there's no way we can be meek and humble before we surrender and submit. Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. So surrender, palms up, hands up, in order to embody and exhibit meekness and humility. So for the rest of the night, we're going to talk really quickly about humility and meekness in three areas, three relationship areas. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and then our relationship with others. So in Luke chapter 22, verses 40 through 43. And when he was at the place, this is Jesus, he said unto them, the disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Does this sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Where is this from? Mm. What was going on? They were about to arrest him. Yes, this was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was arrested and was going to be taken off to be crucified. So he's praying and he's saying, okay, God, if you can take this cup away from me, please take this cup away from me. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So let me ask you, how is this an example of humility and submission? What Jesus just did here in Luke 22, how is that an example to us of humility and first submission and then humility?
He had a really tough thing to do.
Yes, a very tough thing to do.
Very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And even though his flesh said, take this cup from me, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the outcome.
Right.
Not the act of doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome.
That's great. Right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. He kept his mind on the outcome, the end result.
Yeah.
In order to plow through the in-between stuff, because the in-between stuff was going to be very unpleasant, very painful, very difficult. And in his flesh, I'm sure any of us, we've seen the pictures. We've seen the depictions. I don't want to stub my toe, let alone have somebody whip me with some pieces, with some leather whip, with some glasses, with some glass on the ends of it, ripping the flesh off my back. So our flesh in those moments might be screaming and yelling and having a plumb fit. But if we can stay grounded in those moments, and we've talked about this before on Wednesday nights, if we can just muster up, guys, if we can muster it up and allow Holy Spirit to calm us down in those moments, take a deep breath, whatever it is we got to do, so that God can bring us to the other side of that. That is submission. That is submission bar none. I mean, oh my gosh. What did he tell when Peter took the sword out and he wiped off the ear of the guard? And Jesus said, put your sword away. Don't you know I could call a legion of angels? How much strength did it take for him? He knew he could change it like that. But instead of exercising that power, I told y'all, meekness is not weakness. This is choosing to submit your will. Choosing to say, not my will, God. Your will be done. Not that you don't have the power to do it on your own, right? We're not saying that you're weak. We're saying you are choosing to submit your power to the one with the ultimate power. Okay. All right. I am choosing to submit myself, my gifts, my talents, my whatever I got, God, to your will and to your way. That takes strength. That takes strength. It takes strength. Don't let anybody ever tell you nothing different. Jesus was not a punk. I'm using that language on purpose. He was not weak. Praise God. Okay. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Come on, Deacon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Deacon, that was awesome. He was innocent.
Yeah.
Hadn't done anything wrong.
And that makes him really, really strong.
And that makes him really, really strong. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I just had a flash in my mind, you know, because of everything that's happening in our country, we are seeing images all the time now, you know, but I just saw an image in my mind of, you know, back in the 50s and 60s when the protesters were sitting at the lunch counters and they were, you know, they throwing stuff at them, you know, spilling pop or milk or coffee on them. They're just sitting there, right? Or loosing the dogs on them and the water hoses. How much strength did it take to let somebody hit you in your face
and don't hit them back?
Oh.
You know, that's funny you said that.
Man.
And all the things that they did to him when he was a little boy, all he did was want to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do what was right for the people. But, you know, he got beaten, but he still went on. And
yeah.
He never stopped.
Never
he
stopped.
He didn't give up. He didn't say, you know what, I'm not going through this. If they want to torture me, beat me, beat me, but I'm done.
Excuse me. Thank you.
He did not. He just kept on for the right and for the right reason.
Yes.
And I just, that to me said a lot.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, the courage.
The courage.
And the faith mm-hmm. and the strength that he had to say, God, I know you with me and I'm going to keep on going. And that's why he was where he was before he passed on.
Yes.
But
yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
He got beat, yeah, but God still carries him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Woo. Yeah.
Right.
And speak what's right.
Right. And that's exactly what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He was standing up for what was right. What was right was he had come to restore. He had come to bring life. And that's all he was trying to do. And they was jealous and they was envious and they didn't understand what he was doing. So they wanted him dead and out of the way. And in all of that, he knew what he had to do. And he kept it before him. Oh, guys, I'm telling you, we've all walked through some difficult places. I'm sure all of us that are in here in this room. And I know, because I know my own experience, sitting in the middle of it. I'm not talking about right before you got to it or right after. I'm talking about right dab smack in the middle of it. The heat of it, the fire of it. There's some stuff that go on in your mind, stuff like, forget this. But God says, no, 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 no. Just hold on, Gina. Just hold on. I got you. I got you. I got you. And because we posture ourselves to read his word and to be discipled of him and to have our prayer life and all of that, it's easier for us to keep moving, right? It's easier for us to say, okay, God, this hurts. I want to cuss. I want to kick somebody. I want to do all. I want to flip over these chairs. But okay, okay, I'm okay. All right, because I trust you. Because I trust you. More than likely because he brought you out the last thing, right? You remember the last thing he brought you out of. You remember the last thing that he delivered you from, and because he has never failed, he can be trustworthy. Praise God. So Micah 6. We're talking about humility and meekness in our relationship with God. Micah 6:7-8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? So in verse 7, you know, there's a verse that says obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, we can bring all of the sacrifices in the world. At this time, they were still slain animals in the temple. But what God really wants is what is in verse 8, for us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Because if we're not doing those things, all that other stuff don't matter. Does that make sense? We can do all of that other stuff, but not be submitted in our spirit, not be humble in our spirit, and it cancels out all that other thing, all those other things. It cancels it out. So let me ask you, have you ever struggled with submitting something to God? And if so, I'm sure all of you have. How did you handle it? How did you get to the point where you said, okay, God, I'm surrendering?
Don't care about your feelings. I'm not responsible for your feelings. And I got that way really bad early in recovery. Because I had to learn how to be responsible for my own feelings and emotions. The thing that I use drugs to project.
Okay.
And so, even recently, I have, the Lord has brought to my remembrance that you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And I do check. Nobody, the members don't hear me. Don't hear anything I say. But my tongue is rolling sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, I work at home now. And so it really became real good. snapping.
Gotcha.
And I was like, Lord, you said we have the power of life and death in our cup. And I had asked the Lord to remove the death from my cup.
Amen.
Because I am so straightforward, shoot from the hip, and I just put it out there. I'm not a bush beater and I don't talk sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always been like that. And so I was like, Lord, I need you to remove the death from my tongue because I can get irritated when I say I have a bad attitude. And that's a part of the Lord fixing that. And I get irritated like that. And so the Lord has been doing that because I will take a breath, but I cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in there, and it's just right there. And I will take a breath, and I cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I get really calm. And sometimes it scares me because people are so used to me just putting out there and snapping out, straightforward, and blah, 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 blah. And I don't do that nearly as much as I used to.
Amen.
And I'm more aware.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So you were aware of it.
If you put that mirror in front of you, uh-huh, you can see it for yourself. How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
So you put the mirror in front of your face. You saw you.
I heard you.
You heard you.
And I felt all that. Uh-huh. And that emotion and that rancor and everything.
And you knew that it wasn't what God had for you.
Yeah.
So you asked him to help you with it.
Because even though these people can't hear what I'm saying, you know, they don't hear me sitting there, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Military people are taught to be like this, and they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned that, and it has helped me understand my father, who has been gone, because he went to Korea War, and I have spent my life trying to understand him.
Right.
Because the man he was when I was at one age was not the man he was when I was.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We thank God for clarity, because again, it'll just keep unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps unfolding. Beth.
I'm learning to take thoughts captive.
Uh-huh.
And to say things that, you know, adorations of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has helped me through a lot these last days.
Uh-huh.
And to acknowledge what's going on and be responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I've been doing.
Wow. See, y'all saying, this is hard stuff, right? It's hard stuff to look at your own stuff. You can't, it's not no pointing no finger out here. It's all pointing the finger here. Where am I falling short, Lord? Where am I? What do I need to be doing? What do I need to be doing? Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if I say something, I say, God, I say, you're probably just weeping right now. And I feel remorse because of what God is thinking. Not that he's thinking bad of me,
mm-hmm,
but because I shamed him. I'm his daughter. And that's what bothers me and helped me to get back into perspective. Because I think about, Roslyn said, I don't care if you, Beth, Carrie, Roslyn don't hear me, but God sees me.
Yeah.
He hears me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about man. It's about God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, you are my father, and you are sitting there going, daughter,
mm-hmm,
why do you do this?
Wow.
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That really breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And that's what gets me back into the perspective, because I'm like, God, you love me. And I have to
Come on.
You can want something, but if you don't allow God to do it, mm-hmm. or allow Him to work with you through that,
yes.
it's not going to happen.
That's right.
You have to allow
yes.
Him to do it.
Yes, yes.
And that is just saying, okay, I'm going to take this step, and if I go that direction, God, you know, help me, and I won't go that direction. And we continue to say, okay, I see it, I hear it, and don't, you know, every step that we take and make, it's going to get a little bit easier.
Yep.
But if you don't make a step to make a change,
yep.
it's going to get harder.
That's right, Sister Carolyn.
Like Mark said, he said, you know, when we start screaming and yelling and crying, he said, that's not God,
mm-hmm.
that's us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think about those things, and that's what helps me get back into the perspective. It's like, God, what are you thinking right now? You know, I know you feel the shame, and I shamed you, but you still love me.
Mm.
You love me so much that you won't throw me away.
That's right.
I don't want to keep doing this.
That's
I don't
right.
want to keep saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we've got to allow Him to do it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's
right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You said something very, very powerful and very, very true. Even when we feel the shame, even when we feel like, you know, we have offended God or you know, shamed Him, you know, because of how we've acted or responded to something, it is so good to know that He still, even though, He doesn't throw us away.
Yes.
It is the mercy of God. The mercy of God.
Yes.
I remember reading, you know, in the Old Testament, a lot of people who don't really read a lot of the word, they kind of think that God was just like the big bad wolf in the Old Testament. But God really extended so much grace and so much mercy in the Old Testament. He says at one point, He said, it's with loving kindness that I have drawn thee. And I remember reading that the first time and was like, what? You know, because if you listen to people, it would be as though God was sitting up there with a, you know, a baton ready to, you know, whip you upside your head, you know, so we better do right and we better get, you know, all of these things. But no, He's telling us, I'm going to draw you by how much I love you and how much I'm merciful. And that's really what's going to change our hearts, guys. That's really the thing that's going to change our hearts. Knowing that God loves us, knowing that God's merciful, that is what, the exact type of thing that Sister Carolyn is describing, because of the love that He has bestowed on me. Why would I act this way? Why would I act out of character? Why would I go over here and do that? There's nothing over there for me. I have everything over here with you, Lord. Why in the world would I waste my time over there? Because I understand that it is with loving kindness has He drawn me to Him. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Father. So we're running out, but humility and meekness in our relationship with ourselves. We talked about humility and meekness in our relationship with God, but now with ourselves. Philippians 2:5-7 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. Now, Apostle Paul encourages us here to have the same type of mindset that Jesus had, to allow that to be in us. And so what was the mindset that Jesus had? Matthew 20:25-28. But Jesus called his disciples to him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So here in Matthew, Jesus acknowledged that, yes, out in the world, among the Gentiles, people who did not were not in relationship with God, they clamor. They clamor to exercise dominion over one another. I think we all can even see that in our in today's society. But Jesus told them, this is not how you are supposed to act. This is not how things are going to go among you. Who did Jesus say would be the greatest? The one who ministers, the one who serves. That's who's going to be the greatest. Now, why is it important for us to have this same mindset about service as Jesus had? Why do you think that is important?
Because it moves malice and it removes vain glory by him.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the tongue doesn't spew bitter water, spew on salt water.
Uh-huh.
So it takes the malice out of us, it takes the vanity out of us.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Amen. So it's important for us to have the same mindset about service and being servants and serving as Jesus had. I believe part of the why that's important is it will keep our hearts right in the right place, right? And it'll help us treat people the way we're supposed to treat them. If I think that I'm better than everybody, I'm not serving nobody. I'm thinking they need to serve me. Right? So that completely takes me out of the realm of serving people when God told you that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, so having that is very important, and we have to allow that mind to be in us to serve people and to serve those that God leads us to. Amen? Okay, the last one, humility and meekness in our relationship with others. Galatians 6:1. And that kind of segues into this one. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Wow. And then 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, I'm going to read it out of the Living. God's people must not be quarrelsome. They must be gentle, patient teachers of those who are wrong. Be humble when you are trying to teach those who are mixed up concerning the truth. For if you talk meekly and courteously to them, they are more likely, with God's help, to turn away from their wrong ideas and believe what is true. Then they will come to their senses and escape from Satan's trap of slavery to sin, which he uses to catch them whenever he likes. And then they can begin doing the will of God. OMG. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourselves. And I think we've had sprinkles of this throughout the whole conversation tonight. But why is it important for us to exhibit meekness when dealing with other people?
Well, when we're not meek and dealing with other people, we're not godlike.
Not godlike. That's pretty plain. They don't behave like that in heaven. Okay. Okay, Sister Rosalind said, when you act otherwise, you're not acting like who your father is. You're acting like somebody else. Okay. So I feel that the part of the why is that we need to be ready to extend grace, because honestly, what someone else is struggling with or going through is something we easily could be found in the mix of if it had not been for grace. There go I, my mama always said, right? So none of us are without flaws. And we would want someone to be gracious and merciful to us, right? So Jesus wants as many as will. He wants as many as people who will hear him and come to come. And so we don't need to be a hindrance to anyone from coming to Jesus by our attitude or by the way we handle them. What did Sister Carolyn say? I don't know why I did that. God help me. I don't want to do that anymore. Right? So we don't need to be a hindrance to anyone from coming to Jesus by our attitude or the way we handle them. Sometimes people will, you're innocent, right? You really aren't doing anything. But because something's going on in their soul realm, right? Yeah. They start, well, okay, I understand that that is present. I understand that that happens, okay? I'm fully aware. It actually has happened to me before. I'm minding my own business, right? And word gets back to me. I'm like, wait, what? I told her that wasn't you. So I get that that happens, okay? Because sometimes things are going on in people's souls, and they just, for whatever reason, tormented by a devil, you know, whatever. Well, the person never came to me. The person went to... Well, when that person, when she came to me and said, they came to me and said this and that, and I looked at them and said, I know that's not Regina. You know how much that blessed me? That blessed me a lot. And I told her, I said, I appreciate that, because I said, I haven't even had a conversation with that person. I come in and sit on the back seat. What are you talking about right now? So, but in my spirit, I was troubled, and I'm going to tell you why. I was troubled because I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, it just,
yeah.
It's like the nails on a chalkboard in my spirit when I feel like somebody's taking me wrong or somebody's, you know, I'm like, God, what is going on? And I know that I'm not doing any, you know. But I said, Father, I said, if you are going to open the door for me to say something to her, you know, let me, you know, hey, I don't know what I said that made you feel that. I felt that, even though I haven't talked to you at all. But whatever it was, I apologize. I'm, you know, from the depths of my soul. And this is what I was saying to the Lord in prayer. But the person never came to me. It was just so weird. It was the weirdest thing to me. And so I said, well, okay.
Yeah.
They kept coming, and you know, until they stopped coming. They just stopped. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know. Am I supposed to? And I just didn't have any, I just had peace in my spirit about it. I felt like that person just had something going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy was trying to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I just felt like not. Don't even play into it. Don't play into it. So whenever I saw them, hey, sis, how are you doing? God bless you. Trying to see if something, but never did. And so I said, okay, God, well, maybe they were just having a bad day. And so that's what I think I'm trying to get at with this particular one, how we deal with other people, because we can't help what's going on with them. But we can help what's going on with us. And we can control what comes out of our mouths and how we handle people. And we just have to be mindful. Not that we're not going to have our own bad days. Right? And we pray to God that we're all, you know, mature enough to, oh, she's just having a bad day. She'll be all right. Right? And, of course, that comes with knowing people and having a relationship, too. Right? But sometimes that's not, we don't get that second chance sometimes. People just see us on a bad day and think that's how you are, period. And so being mindful of that, okay, God, help me. Keep my tongue, you know, all of that. So, and yeah, absolutely. So sometimes people will project things onto you that don't belong there, right? But we must, again, okay, Father, this is what, you know, I didn't do nothing, Lord. but still staying humble, because even in that, if you're not careful, you could get puffed up in that and say,
yeah, what are you looking
What do you mean? You know, you next door. Well, we did the neck rolling when I was in high school. I don't know if they still doing that now, but you know. So, but just being mindful and being careful, not to ever intentionally mishandle someone or carry ourselves in a way that will cause offense. Is that okay? Okay. So just in conclusion, meekness is not weakness. Surrender and submission comes before meekness and humility. We must think of ourselves as servants the same way Jesus did, and we must handle everyone with meekness and grace, because you never know if how you treat them may change their hearts toward God. Amen. So before we close, does anybody have any 30-second final statements they want to make? Yes, Deacon Carey. Oh, Oh, just the truth bring it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You can't be away from the truth.
That's true.
You know, it's easy for people to come being what they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. That's true, Deacon. That's true. Right. That's true. That is true. Sometimes you just saying something that's true can hurt somebody's feelings. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, especially when we don't want to change it. I think that's probably more it. The truth hurts you when you don't want to change. Yeah. Because I'm working on it. You know that? Because you've accepted the fact that you got some work to do. But if you don't want to change, who are you talking to? Yeah, that's a very good point, Deacon. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening by audio. God bless you. I'm stopping the recording.